In this demo, Peter Myers is going to introduce us to the usage of data mining algorithms in SQL Server 2008 R2 analysis services. And specifically, he's going to show us how to use the Naive Bayes and Decision Trees algorithms to classify customers for a marketing campaign, and how to test each of the data mining models to determine which one is more accurate.
In this demonstration, I'm going to develop two data mining models using SQL Server analysis services to classify customers for a marketing campaign. So in previous demonstrations in this series, I've worked with the sales analysis database to develop the Internet Sales Cube. I'm not going to work with the cubes and dimensions in this project, but I will reuse the AdventureWorks data source. And so my starting point is to introduce a new data source view that introduces my target mail view. And this view represents carefully prepared data. And let me explore the data and explain that it represents all of the customers. So we see details about their keys, their names, birth dates, marital status. We have gender, income, and note the discretization here into $20,000 ranges. We have the total children that the customer has, the number of children living at home, education, occupation, do they own their home, do they own a car, and so on. And importantly, we have this attribute here that says, have they or have they not purchased a bike from us? So essentially, we've joined our customer information to our sales history to produce this set of data that we'll use to train these two data mining models to understand the bike buying behaviors of our customers. So the next step then is to introduce a data mining structure. And the wizard here guides us through the process of determining whether or not it comes from relational or a cube data. In this case, it's relational. We then get to choose the algorithm, so I'll commence with the decision trees, which is an ideal classification algorithm. And next, we choose the data source view. There's only one table in the data source view, so it becomes my case table. And then this page of the wizard asks us to determine or configure what our predictable column is. So that's going to be the bike buyer. That's what we're looking to train a model to predict. We then need to determine what are the inputs, so very much what we think influence that bike buying prediction. And the easy way to work with this is to click suggest, and the wizard will go ahead and sample the data, and it will rank in descending order of score the most influential attributes. So it's very easy then to just work down the list and say, well, yes, age, number of cars owned, total children, education, commute distance, number of children at home. Address line to a middle name are likely not to have a major impact on the bike buying decision, so we'll take the decision not to use those. I'll include region, income, occupation, marital status, and then gender. And the selection there translates to the selection of the inputs for the model here. The next step then is to define the column's content and data types. And simply by clicking detect, this is easily worked out. The data types, there are only five that data mining support, map directly to SQL Server data types, so there's nothing we need to do there. But when it comes to content types, we'll see that everything except the key is discrete. And the age, which is considered to be continuous, simply because there are many distinct values of ages of our customers. So because the naive Bayes algorithm that I will be introducing into this structure does not support continuous attributes, I'm going to have that discretized. In other words, the processing will group this all of the ages into buckets, and there are statistical properties that we can configure to control how that discretization happens. Next, an important concept when working with data mining is that we need to test the accuracy of our mining models. And a fairly typical approach is that we take our carefully prepared data and we put aside a portion of it, typically a 30% ratio. And what we can do then is train the model using the 70%, and then we can use testing concepts to take in this 30% of reserved data and test how accurate it is at guessing or predicting that bike buyer for us. Finally, we provide a name for the structure and for the model itself. So our first model is based on the decision trees algorithm, and so I'll call it underscore DT. So the completion of the wizard adds the mining structure to the project and opens up the model designer. On the second tab, we see that we have the target mail DT model, and I right-click in a blank area, and I'm going to introduce a second model to this structure that will be called TargetMail NB for the naive Bayes, also a classification algorithm. And now we're ready to deploy the project to the server, and in doing so, it will script up the definition of our structures and models, and it will then create them in the database on the server and process them. And effectively, the process will take that 70% of data, and the algorithms will extract patterns and store those patterns that can allow us to query the models. So we now have success for the deployment. I now switch to the third tab, which is the mining model viewer. And so take note that we can toggle between the two models here. So commencing with the decision trees, the first visualization we see is the decision tree itself. And so at the very top of the tree is an all node. And if we take note in the mining legend, we will see that there are 12,939 cases, and it's roughly a 50-50 split between those that do and don't buy bikes. I'm going to change the background color to one that says I want the nodes in the tree to be shaded by intensity of bike buyers. And when I expand the first level, we see number of cars owned. The algorithm determined this is the most influential attribute in the bike buying decision. And so the darker the node is where we're going to find most of the bike buyers. And so we can see here at number of cars owned is zero, it's intensely shaded. And here in the mining legend, we get to see that there are 1,904 customers that meet this, and they represent 63% chance. If you do not own a car, 63% chance you're going to buy a bike. And we can continue to explore down this branch. The next split it found was region, and the most intensely shaded node is the region for Pacific. And we see here for 260 cases that there's a 92% chance that they would buy a bike. And there's still more to explore. We discover here that if you don't have children, that you come from the Pacific region and you don't have a car, then there's a 98% chance that you would buy a bike. And so many sales and marketing people would agree this is an excellent way of understanding particularly volumes of data and being able to appreciate correlations and relationships, in this case between our customer demographics and the bike buying decision. The second visualization is the dependency network. So for the bike buying decision, as we slide down, the weaker attributes drop off. So this is effectively telling us that education has little or no impact on bike buying. And if we take a look at the top three, we can see that we have total children, number of cars owned, and region being the most influential. Let's take a look at the second model. So the same data was processed, but a different algorithm and statistical technique is being used. It also includes a dependency network. And what's interesting to note here is the top three are age, total children, and number of cars owned. So I'd like to point out that it's come to a different conclusion simply because it's a different algorithm and different technique. And so I'd like to reinforce at this point that, you know, data mining is not an exact science, that you could use different algorithms. So it does raise the question, which algorithm is likely to be more accurate? And that's where we'll switch across to the fourth tab. And we have the opportunity here to test both models, testing for bike buyers. And I use the second option here that says use the mining structure test cases. This is the 30% of data that's being reserved. And now when I switch across to the lift chart, we get this graphical representation that shows us the test for accuracy. Now we have two models, yet we see four lines here. And the light blue line, which is the diagonal, represents a random guess. So essentially it says, you would need to sample 100% of the population to find all of the bike buyers. And certainly you can all agree with me that that's an inefficient way of locating those likely buyers. The other end of the spectrum, we have the ideal model, which says you only need to test 50%. In fact, you can throw 50% of the data away because this model is perfection. It will find all of the bike buyers for you. Now, the fact is, both are the ranges that our model will fall in between. And we discover that it's the decision tree model that is closer to the ideal, that it's more accurate in its prediction than the naive Bayes. So essentially what we're looking for is the model that is closest to the ideal. And the reason that this is called a lift chart is that the lift above random is the value that data mining is delivering here. So the last phase here is the mining model prediction that allows us to query the mining model. So having selected the decision tree model as our most accurate, I can introduce a case table. And so I have from my data source a view that represents new customers. And automatically it creates relationships by name to relate to the model. So it's very simple now. I can create a query that says, let's introduce first name, last name. We might need their phone number. And let's bring in a prediction function that predicts the probability, which I'll alias as the confidence. What are we predicting? We're predicting this bike buyer. And the comma one says we're predicting that they are a bike buyer. So we can take all of these new customers, pass them in through the model, and we can attach this confidence of how likely we are that they will buy a bike from us. So it's of interest to note that these queries can be executed within your applications, reporting services can execute them and then represent the data through a report. Integration services could use this to go ahead and cleanse or supplement the data that you're loading into your tables.